From Aspen Public Radio, this is Curated, stories on the artists who visit and live in the Roaring Fork Valley. I'm Claire Woodcock, arts and culture reporter here at Aspen Public Radio. It is Monday, September 11th. For the fourth annual Aspen Theater Festival, Theater Aspen and the Wheeler Opera House are teaming up to help facilitate development for The Mad Show. You know that face. Red-haired, freckled boy with a gap in his teeth. He was the brand image for Mad Magazine, the publication popularized for the satirical take on politics, sports, and celebrities. There was a spin-off comedy sketch television series, Mad TV, which ran 14 seasons before it was canceled in 2009. But The Mad Show is different. It's a musical. It features Emmy-winning comedy writer Rich Tallarico and a six-member cast with credits that include everything from Mad TV and The Daily Show to musicals like Wicked. Set to music composed by Second City alum TJ Shanoff, writers and actors will try out new jokes on Aspen audiences. On this week's episode, we hear from The Mad Show's writer and composer. But first, here's Marcus Potter, Theater Aspen's interim executive director, on why Aspen should be excited for this event. Thanks for tuning in, and let's go mad. So tell me how Aspen got mad this week. How did you get this scoop?
So before I arrived, Paige Price, the outgoing artistic director, had a relationship with some of the folks, the GM of The Mad Show. And we talked about bringing it to Williamstown, talked about bringing it to Theater Aspen as the first developmental production. Ultimately, this is heading towards a commercial, open-ended, likely open-ended production, likely starting in New York City. So this is a first few steps on the way towards that journey.
Off-Broadway?
To be determined.
Okay.
There's the possibility of it being on Broadway. There's a possibility of finding an off-Broadway venue, finding a bar that's converted, finding a cabaret that's converted into the home of The Mad Show. It's still to be determined. And a lot of the experience of being in Aspen is finding out, like, where does the show belong and where is it headed? So that's why the idea of doing it in a bar, doing it in a home, doing it in a cabaret, and doing it at the Wheeler was very appealing both to us and the Mad team.
Okay, that's so interesting. So speaking of the Wheeler, Theater Aspen and the Wheeler Opera House have partnered up to bring The Mad Show to Aspen for the week as sort of a comedy sketch writing residency slash test run.
Yeah. I think you summarized that well. It is a little bit of a test run. It's an exploration of the material. It's a way for the team to deepen and strengthen the storytelling of the show, and also to find out, again, where the show will ultimately live. I think the early instinct is that it's an offbeat venue. It's a non-traditional venue, as a like a bar, et cetera, a cabaret.
Right. And the Wheeler has so much history in it.
Yeah, they have an amazing history. It's been wonderful collaborating with Jenna. And they also have a tradition of bringing a Second City audience. And they've brought Second City to their theater several years now. So there's a little bit of a Second City following. And all of the artists here, all comedians that have worked with Mad TV and Second City, they're all improvisers and brilliant comedians.
Oh, it's such an impressive list.
Yeah.
The main question that I think so many people probably have leading up to this festival is, why Aspen audiences? What is it about Aspen audiences that was so attractive to The Mad Show?
The Mad team and Warner Brothers, they were looking for places to develop it before they ultimately bring it to New York. So they were thinking of potential places. Williamstown was on the list. We were on the list. And I think something that appealed to Warner Brothers and the team was that here in Aspen, we have such a smart audience. We have an audience that are incredibly cultured and understand art in a very deep way. So the idea of bringing it to Aspen was very appealing, not only for the audience, but also the potential various venues, the idea of going into a bar and going into the Wheeler Cabaret and going into different venues to try to find out where the show ultimately belongs.
Right. This musical that's being developed is a little different in the sense that there is authorized improv. Improv is allowed. I mean, that's what I heard.
Yeah. So far, Rich Tallarico, the writer and director, and TJ Shanoff, the composer, musical director, they've been talking about having moments of improv. It'll be largely scripted, and there'll be designated times where there's intentional improvisation. But the whole show will ultimately be scripted with moments of improv here and there, especially the third act, where in New York we'll bring a celebrity guest and we'll improv around that guest in the third act. So that's where some of the improv really comes into play in this new piece.
Okay. Yes. And what does this residency mean for Theater Aspen, the Wheeler Opera House, and the overall community at large?
Well, one of our missions at Theater Aspen is to provide a place for new artists to create, to develop the next crop of emerging artists. So we have a strong commitment to developing and producing new work, which started officially with the Aspen Theater Festival. And this is our fourth annual Festival of New Works, but we are committed to that mission of shaping storytelling in addition to telling stories that have already existed. So it's something very important to Theater Aspen to develop new work.
Yeah. My sense is that this is a really big deal for the community to be bringing in such high-level writers and producers and musicians and actors to basically come play in Aspen and learn and grow here as we all do.
Yeah, it's an incredible opportunity, not only for Theater Aspen, but I think for the whole team. You know, being in Aspen is beyond soul cleansing, and to be able to create and be in a room together with this dynamic team in this Brigadoon-like city is just amazing, again, for the team and for us to have these incredible artists here.
Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in and joining me.
Thank you so much, Claire. Awesome.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
That was Marcus Potter, interim executive director with Theater Aspen. You're listening to Curated on Aspen Public Radio, and this week is all about the Mad Show. Now we go to comedy sketch writer Rich Tallarico, who's worked on shows like Mad TV, Key & Peele, and Saturday Night Live. He's writing the Mad Show and joins me in the studio now. Okay, so describe to me in your own words what this new musical is all about.
So the Mad Show is a scripted musical comedy that's contemporary and inspired by Mad Magazine.
All right. And what are you trying to accomplish with reviving Mad as what was first a magazine, then was adapted into a comedy sketch show that ran for 14 seasons, I believe, into a musical?
This is very much a scripted endeavor, but because I come from the improv world, a lot of the cast that we have come from the improv world. As we are kind of putting the material up, we're always kind of starting with a script, but there is an element of improv to it because they're going to ad lib and, you know, kind of make it their own, which is kind of part of the process. So we're kind of using a little bit of a Second City process, which is somewhat improv based, but it's something that I'm also writing along with TJ Shanoff, who's writing the music for the show as well.
Right, right. So you have this awesome group of people that have, you know, credits from everything from Second City to Mad TV to Veep to Key & Peele. You yourself were a writer for Key & Peele, and you have some experience in that world. What's it been like working with such a creative, innovative group?
You know, I got to Chicago in 1992, and, you know, and all the people that I'm working with now are people that I met back then.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the guys that are in this show, we've worked together for literally decades. So I've always been surrounded by kind of amazing, incredible talent. And I've been very lucky to work with such great people. And this was a dream, really, because I got to bring in all kinds of folks that throughout this whole process that I wanted to work with. And Mad has been incredibly supportive. The magazine has been very supportive. And they kind of said, do whatever you want to do. Here's 60 years worth of Mad Magazine. Now do whatever you want to do with it.
Whoa.
So a little bit intimidating, but also, you know, such an honor to get to do that because this place is so, I mean, it is the granddaddy of all modern comedy, you know, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And what's your intention bringing it to the Wheeler Opera House with Theater Aspen to try it out with Aspen audiences in particular?
Well, I think, you know, as these processes go, as these shows get developed, you know, I don't think the first stop is Broadway. I don't think they say, okay, let's rent out the biggest Broadway stage and let's, without testing it anywhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I think this is a very, when we think of the audience for this show, I mean, this is going to run in New York. I mean, it's a very somewhat liberal, but we, you know, our show is very fair, I think, hopefully, and hits both sides. But I think we thought that this audience of the places we could go, this seemed like a very good fit for us, a very sophisticated, well-read audience that would understand hopefully some of the things that we're talking about.
Tell me more about how sophisticated and well-read we are. No, I mean, or Mad Magazine and then the TV show had this reputation as being kind of innovators for political satire. And right now we're in kind of a really turbulent time where people who don't agree on their views just can't really see the other's perspective. You know what I mean? It's tough. I mean, how do you approach really sensitive, provocative material with humor?
Well, all comedy is ultimately, you know, is a, and it's such a pretentious thing to say, but it really is just looking at things from another perspective. You just start to ask questions. You look at something from a different perspective. And that's really what our job is to get people to go, well, I never thought of it that way. And if it has even a shred of truth to it, it would stand up as a comedy piece because people go, yeah, that is kind of true, you know. And I think that's a way to get people to see beyond divisions, whether it's left, right, you know, skin color, ethnicity, gender, whatever the things that separate us, you know, by just seeing things from more perspectives, hopefully that's a way to kind of use comedy to, especially in this day and age, because we feel like that, yeah, it is kind of a crazy time. You know, I took this job in like 2014.
Yeah.
We've been slowly developing it, you know, over, and now the world is so nuts. And we're like, how are we going to approach some of the topics that we want to talk about? And, you know, we didn't want to just do nothing about what's going on in the world. So we really wanted to try to find a way to deal with it. And ultimately, it comes down to hopefully looking at it from a different perspective. And that gets the audience to think, and it maybe gets conversations going. And people could say, yeah, you know, I never thought of it that way. And that's hopefully the best thing that we can do as comedians. And at the worst we could do is just make you laugh a little bit and maybe you forget your problems altogether.
Right.
So
right.
Hopefully we're working on one of those two levels.
What are some of the challenges that you faced while writing and I'm sure rewriting jokes over the last couple of years as everything sort of blew up?
To just try to find a way to say what you want to say on whatever level you can say it. I know that sounds so vague, but especially if you feel like that the rest of the world has a certain area covered as far as comedy or the way that they're talking about a certain thing. Like whenever I enter in a dynamic, like a writer's room or something like that, I always try to just say, well, what isn't this show doing? And can I broaden the horizons of the experience maybe? Or could I think in a way that they're not thinking? And, you know, can I contribute in that way? And that might be a way to kind of carve out a niche as a writer to kind of, you know, create your own little area. So I don't know. This process has been a lot of that, of like, let's just keep looking at things from a different perspective because it is super challenging.
Yeah.
And TJ, the music director, composer, and I have talked a lot this summer and, you know, we've thrown ideas back and forth to each other. So it's been great having him, you know, as a sounding board. And as we, you know, looked at the topics, and similarly with Key and Peele, we had to write evergreen material, meaning the show wouldn't air for months. So you couldn't really talk about like an incident with a celebrity that happened that weekend, but you might write a bigger piece about celebrities and it would may refer to that incident, but it didn't have to be of the moment. And that's what we want this show to be, is like a live show that can run, you know, with an ensemble of performers that could run for months at a time, also could tour, that kind of thing.
Sure, sure. What do you imagine this show becoming down the road?
Well, ultimately, it's a container for whatever, you know, we want to write about in the next version of the show. And I think that this show could run as long as there are things to talk about. It's just an expression, you know, it's a sketch, comedic expression about the world that we live in, you know, politics and family and friends and all the things that we deal with. So not necessarily just politics, but hopefully lots of topics get covered. And the shows tend to also create, as they're getting created, kind of theme up. in the sense that a theme starts to appear, and as you continue to write, you end up kind of writing into the curve a little bit. And then the show kind of gels with callbacks and, you know, characters recurring, and like that's a lot of the fun part of it, doing like a live sketch show.
Yeah. So I'm sure that Aspen audiences are psyched to be the guinea pigs in the Mad Show's jokes this week. When can our listeners and audiences expect to see if those shows made the final cut?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know. So coming up this week, we have some shows, and everything's just been a step. And as a writer, that's my life. Everything is a step. You get a meeting, and then you sell something. You get it on the air, and, you know, it's all steps. And sometimes they don't get all the way on the air, and sometimes things don't make it all the way. But we really think that the show is saying something in a way that is unique and fun, and I think the performers are great. And, I mean, they're all in their own right, like assassin-level comedians. They're all very, very talented and funny. So, you know, I think we have a great chemistry, great group, and hopefully some really great material that everybody will enjoy. And the usual gang of idiots has been giving us all kinds of support, and we're using some stuff from the magazine.
Right.
And some stuff we've developed and used with them. So it's been a really cool process. I think people will like it. And I think if you don't know the magazine, you'll also really just come and have a really fun time.
You're listening to Curated on Aspen Public Radio. This week, we're talking about The Mad Show. But since that music is still embargoed, let's hear a little of the Los Angeles-based psychedelic soul band Chicano Batman, who plays Belly Up Aspen Saturday night. Here's Friendship is a Small Boat in a Storm from the funk rockers' third album, Freedom is Free.
Open heart, so you share what's inside, thinking that all is said in confidence, but then you realize this song is heavy. You're along for the ride, thinking that all is said in confidence. Yeah, you realize.
Now I'm swimming in the sea.
Chicano Batman, who plays Belly Up Aspen, Saturday at 9:30 p.m. For more information, visit bellyupaspen.com. Now back to the madness. Musical composer T.J. Shanoff has written and arranged the music for The Mad Show, which is getting a test run in Aspen this week. He stopped by the APR studio to talk about the complicated relationship between theater, music, and improv. So you've been here for the past week or so with The Mad Show, the cast and the crew. Tell me, how are rehearsals going? Are the actors adjusting to the altitude?
We've all adjusted really well. The first couple of days, there was general nausea and like some headaches and stuff. But it's almost like when you go out in the water for the first time on a boat. Like, it's a little rough, and then you adjust the next day. And we've all learned, you know, alcohol doesn't help. Hangovers make the situation, you know, worse. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, yeah. One beer feels like 10 here.
Yes, which is great from a cost-cutting standpoint. It's like having a Groupon for multiple beers.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah, for real. All right, so I'm so curious about the music in this show.
Yeah. Well, I go back with the head writer and director of the show for many years.
Yeah, you did a musical with him, The Roof is on Fiddler.
Yeah, we did this crazy kind of midnight in Chicago at a theater called Improv Olympic, now called I.O., right by Wrigley Field, or at least it used to be. It was a parody of Fiddler on the Roof, which Rich and I met touring for the National Touring Company of Second City. I was a musical director, Rich was a performer. We clicked right away, and we found that this Jewish kid from the city of Chicago, and him, this Italian guy from upstate New York, both had this love for Fiddler on the Roof. And we would geek out over Fiddler on the Roof and just kind of we both done productions in high school, and we just kind of laugh about it. And we thought, hey, you know what would be kind of fun? What if we took all the songs out of Fiddler on the Roof and did the story straight, full book, and replaced the songs with songs from the 80s that kind of fit the plot? So Matchmaker's Like a Virgin. Tradition is that's just the way it is.
How did that go over?
We had this dumb little show, and Chris Jones, the Chicago Tribune theater critic, called it, I'll never forget the quote because I was a lot younger than one of the, he called it one of the funniest things to come down the improv pike in months, if not years. So because the Trib loved it, all of a sudden the Chicago Tribune were now selling out shows Thursdays at midnight in Chicago. It was a huge hit. And then the people who own Fiddler on the Roof said, you know what? Maybe don't do our show without paying us. Rich got hired actually to write for Mad TV, and that was it for The Roof is on Fiddler. If you were in Chicago in 2001, it was a wonderful experience.
Okay, so now you're working on The Mad Show.
Yeah.
Tell me about how you're using the archives from this iconic brand that's going to be a musical.
Well, it's interestingly enough, what we learned when I signed on to this a year or two ago, there was an off-Broadway review that Richard Rodgers' daughter, Mary Rodgers, who wrote Once Upon a Mattress, a bunch of other fun stuff, composed the music for this. So I listened to that a lot and have tried to keep it in the spirit of once in a while, back in the day, the magazine would give out those flexi vinyl, like the thin piece of plastic that you play once and then would just kind of, you'd never be able to play it again. So I've kind of used... It's kind of a pop and musical theater and comedy song amalgam is kind of how I've concocted the music for this. Rich gave me the rein because I'm music directing, but I've also written the music and the lyrics. And some of the lyrics are collaborative amongst the cast. I can't take credit for every word in this, but I've come up with some ideas and some things that I think are Mad-esque. So rather than try to come up with a spy versus spy song, which there's a lot of pressure, how do you get that right? And we do address spy versus spy in the show, so it's represented. We're trying to get as many Hallmark pieces in. But I kind of said, be inspired by Mad versus, hey, issue 71 has this great thing I can turn into a song. So, again, my MO is to start from fresh as if we're writing a fresh review based on the ethos of Mad Magazine.
Yeah, yeah. Mad has been culturally known for elevating socio-political conversations, and I want to know how you're interweaving that into this show in today's day and age, and what are some of the challenges that come with that?
That's a great question. There's a lot of challenges in that Mad is very well known for not being hyper-partisan. Mad attacks the left, Mad attacks the right.
Yeah.
What's a little tricky now is we don't want to make this a political screed. We want this show to be for people who believe in and participate in liberal politics. The last thing we want to do is to offend anybody's political sensibilities. So we're going to try our best to deal with the folly and fecklessness of Democrats. But let's be honest, as long as Trump's in charge, we're doing a huge musical number. That's one that I wrote, and it was a way that I tried to write a song where I didn't have to make it about my own Donald Trump commentary. The cast is performing a song that is 100% things Donald Trump has said or tweeted. There's no lyrics other than things he said, things he's tweeted, put to music. And people can take that any way they want. The song is called Fake News, and I'm not sure where it's going to sit in the running order yet, but we're proud of that one because we found a way to get a Trump song in without it being, we think Donald Trump is bad. There's none of that commentary. It's just things he said. So if you're offended by it, maybe you're offended by his actual words.
All right, so where do you see this show heading in the near future?
Well, given that there's a lot of people behind it who really want this thing to do well. So I'm trying to think, my role as composer and musical director for this is I'm trying to think one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to do the show in Aspen is a privilege artistically and a privilege professionally. New York is great. We did a workshop of this in New York about a year ago. The tricky thing is, when we're trying to create new material and you're bombarded with everything, what makes New York so great makes New York terrifying and pressurized. So to be here in Aspen, pulling from a lot of Los Angeles talent, bringing me in from Chicago, it's not far away. The Wheeler is gorgeous. The Red Brick Arts Building we've been working in for the first week. Everything we've seen is, I don't know how you people do it, this weird idyllic, like everything's clean. Other than bears hanging out in trees, everything about this is amazing. So in terms of where does this go, yeah, I'd be lying if I said we didn't have goals for this thing to sit down in New York and then get a company in San Francisco and do it in Chicago so I can be there to musically direct it. But for right now, I'm pretty happy just being in Aspen.
That was musical director and composer TJ Shanoff. He's been in Aspen this week incubating and creating the Mad Show. On Tuesday, there will be a sneak peek of the material beginning at 7. Then on Thursday, there will be a sneak peek of the material plus a Q&A session afterwards. And then Friday and Saturday will be a full main stage production of The Mad Show at the Wheeler Opera House, beginning at 7:30 p.m., co-presented by the Wheeler and Theater Aspen. For more information, visit either entity's website. Here's what else is happening this week in the Valley. Wednesday, Marble Distilling Co. presents Vodka and Van Gogh with the Carbondale Creative District starting at 7 o'clock p.m. Thursday in Carbondale, the No Man's Land Flagship Adventure Film Festival starts at the Crystal Theater. The third annual Flagship Festival is an all-female adventure film festival based out of the Rocky Mountains and runs through Sunday. Also Thursday at the Wheeler Opera House, the Mad Show presents a team discussion on the creation of the musical. This event starts at 5:30 p.m. There's a stand-up comedy set with Jim Tews at the Glenwood Vaudeville Review Friday, starting at 7 o'clock p.m. Also Friday in Basalt, the Ben Miller Band makes a stop at the Temporary. That event begins at 8 o'clock p.m. Saturday, the Snowmass Wine Festival kicks off at 1 o'clock p.m. up in Snowmass Village. And Saturday at 4 p.m. in Aspen, there will be a book signing with sci-fi author Jamie Metzl at Explore Booksellers. That's all that's curated this week. For more on arts and culture, tune into Morning Edition weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. and visit us online at aspenpublicradio.org, where all episodes of this show live. I produced today's show solo. It was edited by Carolyn Zachariasen. Local musicians Greg Lout and Jason Patton wrote the show's theme tune, Omnicord Entrance. Special thanks to the Stefan Edlis and Gail Neeson Foundation, which aims to support the arts, community, and outreach. Also, special thanks this week to Warner Brothers. Continue to follow Curated APR on Facebook for news and updates on arts in the Valley. I'm Claire Woodcock at the Edlis Neeson Arts and Culture Desk. Thank you so much for listening. Curated is a production of Aspen Public Radio News.